Good morning. Today is Thursday, September the 8th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming.
Good morning, Brian. Hey. How are you?
Wait for the applause sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's Maggie. Okay.
Oh, man.
You know, I've wondered what it would be like to be like Johnny Carson type of late night talk show host. Not the political stuff, just, you know, I would probably have the cameras showing the applause signs, so they would know when it was real and when it wasn't.
Right.
You know,
that
kind
right.
of stuff.
You'd be Ed McMahon.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure if I would be creative enough to do anything, but I would have comments.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. So, in a weird twist of fate,
I picked up the book, Why You Say It.
And you're not willing to give it back.
I'm not handing it back. So, I've got one for you, Brian.
All right.
Why do we say go bananas? Why do we specify that fruit instead of Granny Smith apples or pears?
Go grapes?
Go grapes, yeah. Grapes.
I would think it probably has something to do with monkeys.
Oh, my goodness.
And being
Brian.
Uncontrollable.
You're
and,
a psychic.
Oh, am I right?
Yes, you are.
Now, if this is one for one, then I'm done. This is the last one and only.
So they say it's exactly why a person will go crazy in a certain situation. It's because actions of such a person are a lot like that of a caged monkey in a zoo. The sight of a keeper approaching with a bunch of bananas can make the animal freak out or go bananas. There you go.
Yeah, one and done.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on now.
I'll stump you next time.
Yeah, okay. Some of the stuff that's going on nationally, certainly the FBI and right. dealing with some of the information procurement strategies that are going on, and we're hearing from one side that's politically driven and has been since Trump was president. Others are saying all kinds of other things also. How much influence does politics have, not, I guess maybe in the sentencing, but in the entire political, or in the entire criminal justice process, from who is being charged, why they're being charged, what they're being charged with, all the way through sentencing and everything else?
You know, Brian, I think that's a fascinating question that we've sort of always looked at. So nationally, I think it's obviously much more what people look at, and politically, you know, people have concerns and question decisions. Locally, I think one of the reasons why we've always had the DA job, the sheriff's job, elected at the county level is because it is more, you're really focused more on the community needs. You understand the community standards. Obviously, it's completely different. Where we have seen it recently, where it has become really politically driven, is the San Francisco DA situation, and also, of course, the LADA section, where it was the campaigns were driven completely by politics, the outcome was driven completely by political parties, and ultimately the community went, this is a complete failure.
Now, we've heard Soros has got an awful lot of influence with the
yes.
funding and who the individuals are that are put forth to be elected.
Yes.
That's about as direct a political point A to point B as could
right.
possibly happen.
Right. And what is, I think, you know, always going to be catastrophic is when we allow those two races in particular, the DA and the sheriff, to be driven by political, you know, decisions and political parties. They really are non-political for a reason. They have a specific constitutional duty. That duty must be carried out. And when people allow politics to enter into that, it can really, you know, create a lot of upheaval. It can really destroy what the office should be focused on.
Well, you don't have to declare a political affiliation anywhere in the process running for either of those two positions, right?
That's correct. And I think it's better not to. I really do. I think when people start making those decisions, I know we talked about it before, but sadly, it just passed yesterday, AB, I believe it's 759, but it might be 795, and that's they've moved. The legislators have voted to move specifically the DA and the sheriff's race to the presidential cycle. So 6 years from now instead of four.
So Stacey's in for six?
Stacey's in for six.
Oh, gee.
So the problem, you know, and it's all about, it's driven by people say we have voter turnout that's higher. And we believe those two races are so significant, we want more voters to be involved in that election. The issue is, what we know is, voter turnout is very specific to a couple of elections, and it drops way off when you get to page 3 or page 4 of the ballot, which is shocking, but that's the reality. And what we know, too, is that having the local elections on the separate cycle, we really do get to focus on those. You know, people watch the debates. People are more informed about the local candidates. Once we move to presidential, it will be lost. And
the turnout will be so low, now you get the wingnut connection or contingency having more influence on the outcome of the races.
Right.
And do you get a better caliber of individual in the, or maybe not caliber, how about better qualified individual in those positions or not? And I would tend to think the or not.
I think it's going to be more politically driven, right? It's, people are going to line it up specifically on political parties, whereas locally, we know that's not the case. Everybody knows people who are not of the same political party sometimes vote for candidates because they're like, I know that person, I know they can do the job, I've observed them in that capacity. This is really going to swing that. The other part about it is it will become really, really expensive and difficult, right? Because all of a sudden, airtime, print time, everything's going to be really geared towards the big races, you know, the presidential races. And it will really harm, I think, the local exposure that candidates need to get for this community to be able to be informed as voters.
Yeah, for those media that can charge the candidates whatever they want, we're kind of restricted by federal government. But yeah, it's and scarcity of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people to think about some of these races, or like you said, to even recognize that somebody that there's a race that's up.
Right.
Interesting. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, as you see, consume the media and how things are played out, last week I was talking with some buddies in Mississippi, and they were talking about the water situation. And they said, no, it's not the state. It's the one part of the city of Jackson, state capital, and the political machine that is in charge of the state capital and that city are two different. You got Republicans that are the state. You got Dems that are running the city. And the city folks, for the last 5 or 6 years, have pretty much just let this water infrastructure fall apart, waiting for the state to come in and take care of it. And they haven't. They've been boiling water for 3 or 4 months. Okay, so that's not an issue. They've had failures over the last 4 or 5 years. Well, that's not. But the way it's being positioned, it doesn't. Yes, it's truthful. Is it accurate? Maybe. Is it being opportunistic? Absolutely. And that's kind of what I fear. A lot of these cases that get headlines are the same way. Officer, look, I heard a black person being killed by a black person is 18 times more likely to happen than an officer-involved shooting with a black person in America. But you wouldn't know that based on what we hear. You know, this myopic presentation of facts, I would think, it's got to be very frustrating because it's the charging point. I guess it's at the arrest point. The charging point, the trial point, the sentencing point, the incarceration point. All along the way, there's these opportunities for nibbling to go on. How tough does that make the job?
I think it's a really, the reality, Brian, is we've always had viewpoints, political viewpoints, ownership viewpoints in media. It's always going to be there. It's recognizing whether or not someone's going to work at making sure the information they're receiving is factual and accurate. And I think I shared with you as a kid, we always took two newspapers. You know, we took the San Francisco Chronicle and the Oakland Tribune. And the news sometimes of the same events would be somewhat different in those two. And it was being aware of that. But also, I think for a lot of people, the bigger concern is sort of this responsibility that people have placed on social media as their news source that I don't really understand how that functions.
Yeah, there was...
And the ability of people to repeat stories that have no factual basis, and they become sort of gospel. It's very, very frightening. But for what I do, we try, you know, to do press releases. We try to make sure we answer all the questions that the media sends us. But even that, the media is going to focus on what they're going to focus on.
And what media?
Right. And so our press releases, I try to do sort of a snippet, you know, so when things happen, obviously sometimes with trials we try to do them, but with sentencings in particularly, I try to use the opportunity to inform the public about why this occurs related to changes in the law, you know, so I think a lot of people are still shocked.
So you're looking to educate as well as inform.
Right. To say, you know, due to changes in the law, this person would never be sentenced to prison for these crimes. They now would do local jail time, and highlighting that, because you'll see that people say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It used to be you could never do more than a year at our local jail. That's correct. In the old days, if you received a sentence for more than a year, you were going to be sent to CDC, the state prison system.
Talk to the governor.
Right, but that's been changed by the law such that now we have a huge number of felonies for which you will never, ever be sentenced to prison. You're going to do that local time. So that's one issue. I think the other issue that I find is very interesting is people's perception of our capacities. So for right now, mental health issues. We have a lot of people in the criminal justice system that have significant mental health issues, and people say over and over, we don't want them incarcerated. What are you going to do about that? And our response is...
Who says they don't want to incarcerate?
Oh, a lot of people in the community. And the issue is if they are...
That was incarcerated the same as detained by their definition?
They mean held at the jail. And where
not,
we
not in a health care facility, but jail.
To a certain extent, both. Right. I would be happy if we could say with everyone who has a mental illness that results in them committing crime, if we had a facility where they could go that was more like a state hospital. We don't have that. We don't have the capacity for that. And where we run into this problem is, people believe, even when someone's committing violent felonies, that it would be unfair to hold them. And the concern is we really can't keep releasing people who are a danger to themselves or to others and say, well, we're not going to do this simply because of mental health issues. So it's a real significant issue that I see. Because what people don't understand is if we say, okay, you know, like sometimes people will say, as the victim of this crime, I don't want anything to happen to them because I recognize they have mental health issues. The problem is you're not necessarily going to be the only victim of this person.
Yeah, so it's the next guy in line.
What do I do for public safety to address that? Now, luckily, our jail has a really good jail-based competency program so that we don't have to send so many of our inmates off to Napa, which had a huge backlog and waiting list. But we still have that same problem with we have people. So, and again, if the crime is truly related to their issues of mental health such that they're insane at the time they commit the crime, that's a separate plea that they can enter into. And then their term, so whatever that, it might be, would be in a state that, hospital.
What would that be that would be temporary insanity? Drug-induced?
No, it can't be drug, because
that's triggered by the individual.
Right, that's a separate issue. Okay. No, it's for people who, you know, sometimes they've had a mental break and they're convinced the circumstances that they're confronted with are something else, and they act upon it.
You mean like a mental breakdown?
Like a mental breakdown.
I guess using old time nomenclature.
You know, people who can believe this person's, you know,
the spaceship is coming and I'm going,
right.
But that's only a short time.
Versus people who know what they're doing, they just, They're just in such a position. I'm sorry, I'm not explaining this very well right now. Versus someone who acts knowing the wrongfulness of their act, but has a bizarre motivation for it. So you cannot, that is still someone who's responsible.
So somebody who's off balance.
Right.
Yeah, I can understand why you're doing that job and not me. Even for just 5 or 6 more months. KINS, October, November, 3, 4 months. Okay. We'll be back.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back with Maggie Fleming, Humboldt County DA for a little bit. I can't imagine not prosecuting somebody who did a crime. You know, plea bargain. Yeah, I remember Terry Farmer, when he was DA, got it in the ringer a little bit about that, too. And I think that's probably when it started, you know, the proclivity of doing that. Okay. Kind of come to terms with that one. But folks not wanting to charge or telling societally, they don't want this kind of crime punished. They don't think that this type of person should. Hey, wait a minute. You know, that wasn't your house they broke into. That wasn't your car that they stole. That wasn't your life that they disrupted. Who are you to tell me what I think? How do you avoid having that attitude? Or perhaps you just don't let that attitude show.
I mean, I think part of it is you're listening to the community to understand what is our capacity? What can we do? Because ultimately, we're going to have these people as jurors. Everybody's going to serve as a juror. And so we have to recognize what will this community support? And so, for example, you know, when I first moved here in the early 90s, we were seeing significant changes with regards to marijuana law. This county was already moving in that direction under Terry Farmer. So we had, but it was recognition of this is how this community feels. If you've got 10 or 15 plants in your backyard, we're not gonna come after you.
But if the law says XYZ, is it up to an individual legal entity to go, not in our town?
Well, the issue is, Brian, if you brought 12 jurors in, what would they do with that case? A lot of them would raise their hand and say, I think this is a waste of our time.
But wouldn't it be better to have the jury do that than the criminal justice system do that?
And again, I think part of why the DA is an elected position is because if people say this person will never, ever do this type of crime and we are angry about that and we want that, you can vote them out. But I think in most counties, you know, there are exceptions like SF and LA. The DA is being responsive because we only have a certain capacity. We can only do so many crimes. I mean, plea negotiations are based upon the fact we get 9,000 police reports a year. We charge somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,400. That's 100 new cases a week. Could we try over 100 cases each week in Humboldt County? No, we could not. We try one or two tops. So the idea is you're deciding not just what should be filed, and it's also a factor of who is the individual. You know, is this really someone that you need to have in the criminal justice system, or did the fact that they got arrested or reprimanded or someone spoke to them about it, is that enough such that that's going to change their behavior? I mean, ultimately, I think most people believe criminal justice is based upon consequences for someone's conduct, but also an effort to change their behavior so that we stop seeing them, so they stop being a problem.
Let me go with a really egregious example.
Okay.
Nationally, there is a small, small subset that wants to normalize sex between any consenting people. Not adults. You know, and this gets into the underage stuff. Okay, if a community says, yeah, that's okay in our area, I would think for a large portion of communities, regional and national, they say, it doesn't matter.
Right.
This is bad stuff. Well, right. But in our county, this is okay. I mean, that's, and again, that's an egregious and that's a really
yeah, that's
extreme.
That's a really that's an extreme. That's a different situation because we have a duty to protect the children. So that's different than the general types of crimes we're talking about. I mean, when I first moved here, and I know I've told you this story, working the justice courts, I came from Contra Costa County, where if someone drove on a suspended license or if someone, you know, was underage drinking, everybody had no issue saying that they've lost their license. It's 6 months, no driving. My first time in court, and I think it was Judge Banducci, he said, well, you can't do that because how will they get to school? How will they, you know? And I realized when you live in a rural area, you start having to factor in, you know, why don't we say if we reduce the charge to this, then that person can go into DMV, pay their fines, get their license back, and we've made them a licensed driver and we can move on. Versus in some communities where there is mass transit and other ways of, you know, getting to work, getting to school, doing whatever you need to do, judges were much more, we're not going to tolerate that. So that's just kind of an example of how sometimes community standards can impact. But in general,
but that's at the sentencing.
Well,
part. It, I mean, don't you want to run it up to that point and then have the judge then make that call rather than, let's say, a junior assistant DA that's been on the job for 3 months?
It, I guess you have to recognize, though, if ultimately we go to trial, what more are we going to get out of it? You know, is it going to be a higher fine? Is that really going to change?
Confidence in the system that the criminal justice system is working and the laws are the laws. And if we're going to change something, let's change the law rather than having maverick interpretations.
Right. I think that's true for a lot of types of crimes. We push it all the way to trial and say either the person has to plead to all of the charges and then it automatically goes to sentencing, or we're going to go to trial, leave it up to the jury and then the judge for sentencing. We do that quite a bit on cases where it's significant and we believe that the community is going to say, yeah, we don't think this should be allowed. But it's harder on the vast majority of lower level misdemeanors and even lower level felonies to take that stance because we just don't have the capacity to take every one of those cases to trial.
You know how weird it sounds to lower level felony? I know that there are, but it just, I mean, a felony is a serious one. That's kind of what we grew up thinking, right?
Right.
Felonies were the heavy-duty ones. Misdemeanors right. were not quite so bad.
Well, I guess if you think about the difference between someone breaking into your car as it's parked out on the street at night versus someone breaking into your home, where you feel a different level of vulnerability. I'm not excusing the person who breaks into the car. I think that's offensive. Having had my car broken into, my car vandalized, my windows broken out, I don't like that. But I also know it didn't feel the same as when I knew people had gone through my house, gone through every drawer, gone through my closet. That changed how I walked up to my front door after work each day.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Practicality. Yeah, you've mentioned a couple of times that capacity is not as robust as you would like it to be, not as robust as what the community ought to have. You know, even if we took out, the phrase is dual diagnosis or attitude issues, take those guys and gals out, even though there's so many more of them than what we were experiencing before. What's the ideal size of the staff? 30?
It would have to change across the board. It's not just my staff. It's judges.
You're into the python.
And ultimately, here's the issue. What are we going to do with these people, right? It's we don't have the capacity we need at our jail. we don't have the capacity we need in mental health facilities.
Okay. We have a flex system. So if you need it for 6 months, you got it for six. If you need the jail for bigger, great alternatives, diversions, all these various things, right?
Right.
But just at the wide end of the funnel, where you get the 9,000.
Yeah.
Would you like to actually go after 8,000 of them, 8,500 of them, double your staff? Maybe triple your staff so you have more time to deal with the ones that are there. What would it... Newsom says, here's an extra $2 billion for Humboldt County law enforcement.
So it really is across the board. And I'll give you an example.
Yeah, sure.
Petty theft. I think petty thieves should have an immediate consequence. I think every single one of them should be taken to the jail. And I think something should happen, right? They should see a judge. A judge could say, oh, you know what? This is your first time. Don't ever do it again. Oh, wait, this is your sixth time. You're going to stay at our jail for 6 months. We've suggested this program to the judges because it's like you want to alter their behavior. Here's a quick way to do it. And to the mom and pop and every other store owner, this is what we need to do. So that's a good little snippet of how those are a huge percentage of what we see. There is no consequence. We charge them all. There is no consequence. That, to me, is wrong.
Did I bore you with the Safeway story from Santa Rosa?
I don't know.
It may have been the week.
The
it may
time
have
before.
Been the, just after we got together last month.
Okay.
We're there. A guy comes in, grabs something out of the freezer, puts it in his backpack, walks out.
Yep. People have given up on that. And it's that, to me, is one of those crazy crimes that we could really have a positive. Same with vandals. We could really have a positive impact. So what I'm trying to say, though, is here. Misdemeanors, by and large, have very little consequences. Literally, you're put on probation. You're told, obey all laws. In 6 months, your probation
because
won't be over.
Because the financial impact is seen as being small?
It's a combination of, number one, people have become very, very anti-consequences. They feel that it negatively impacts people if we incarcerate them.
Well, that's the concept, isn't it?
That's the concept. And so when you say what's the perfect number, to me, there are a lot of solutions along the way that could really change the numbers. You want to reduce our numbers. Some of these guys, we have law enforcement have arrested 10, 12, 15 times in the last 6 months. Imagine if that person stayed 6 months in jail, the resources we could free up to actually address some of these other problems.
If that happened, what does your 9,000 become? Just if you
8,000. Most of my petty thieves.
So about 12% of the total load
offenders.
The cycle.
Yeah. Now, the other issue that we started by talking about is the mental health. That, again, I think is something we really need to address. And part of it is having people understand. Like when people say to me, well, I'm concerned about his mental health issues. You know, we've seen him before at the hospital or we've seen him before at the apartment complex. We don't want to do anything that could hurt him. So maybe don't make it a felony, make it a misdemeanor. And then I say to them, just so you understand, there's really no consequences for misdemeanors. If we want to help this person, what we need to do is to have a hold on them such that a judge is saying, you're going to follow through with this treatment plan. You're going to meet with this counselor. You're actually going to go, you know, follow through with the medication.
The counselor will find you.
Exactly.
Instead of you have to go to him.
Right.
Yeah. That's a different kind of fabric at the sitting behind the bench also.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I guess a really frustrating part for just at the end, it's all doable.
It is.
It's an attitude change. It's not a structural change.
Right.
Hopefully we'll see some attitude change.
Yes.
All right. Go off and have fun. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
Brian. See everybody tomorrow.